Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Hi, listening friends. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. It's December 5th, 2013. This will be part four of a conversation I recently had with Wednesday and Friday's co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and Thursday's Mark and Friends host, Joey Kroll. We were in the studio recently and recorded for about an hour and a half, and we broke it into basically five segments, and I'll rewind a little of our conversation yesterday where Jason was talking about sharing a legacy with his children, some of his story, family traditions, and where he's been and what he's done. We'll also touch on being in God's Word and knowing who God is so that we can effectively share Him during the season, the Christmas season. We'll talk about some of the good questions that can be asked of others, like what does Christmas mean to you, and inviting people into our lives, into our Christmas experience, how we can share or better prepare for Christmas, and yet, even more importantly, their eternity. I'm going to also share a few songs with you now that we're beginning to air Christmas music on all four of our frequencies, and we'll be transitioning into 100% Christmas music next week. So before we re-enter our conversation from yesterday, here's Michael W. Smith with the American Boy Choir, one of my favorite songs of the Christmas season. It's titled All Is Well. Powerful message. I love the arrangement. And you'll hear this one a lot in the coming days, along with a lot of other Christmas music. So make sure you tell a friend if they're looking for God-honoring Christmas music for the holidays. Dial in one of our four frequencies. We have our flagship station, 102.5 FM. That's located in the Fisher, Illinois area and covers East Central Illinois with two translator frequencies, 103.9 FM in the greater Champaign-Urbana area and our 97.1 FM in Clinton, Illinois. Then we have our WGNJ 89.3 FM that covers East Central Illinois and West Central Indiana, and that's located near Fithian, Illinois. So here is All Is Well by Michael W. Smith with the American Boy Choir. And let me alert those of you that have been tuned in the last few days. At the end of today's broadcast, we'll be giving away another pair of tickets to Mamma Mia during the morning edition of Mark and Friends, and also when this re-airs in the evening. Well, you just gotta love that song. One of my favorites during the Christmas season. But we're gonna rejoin our conversation by rewinding it as Jason is telling a bit of a story of how he shares with his son Jacob, and then Joey Kroll and I'll enter into the conversation.
You know, when we sit down to study the Bible, sometimes I'll say, you know what, Jacob, I'm just so blessed to be able to do this. My mom and dad never did this with me. Mm-hmm. My mom and dad never took the time to do this, and it wasn't because they were bad people, Jacob. It's just because they didn't know how important this was. And I want to build from a foundation that I'm taking the time to do what's important for him, with him, and through him. It's the same reason why it's Christmas time. One of our traditions is we have an Advent book, and it's like it's really nicely done. A couple up in Chicago made it, actually. A husband was an artist. Wife was a writer. They did a presentation somewhere, and my wife was, and they sold these books. And a gorgeous book, kind with like a beautiful hardbound cover, and it's got a tie to, so you tie it shut. But every page is a door you open. It's got a little bit of a words, and then you open the door, and inside the door is more of the message. And so we read that every single day at night. We read it. You get a piece of chocolate. I don't know why we came up with that part of the tradition, because we give our kids chocolate right before bed, which means they're not going to bed. I don't know. I told my wife, I said, can we give them shots of Benadryl right after we read the Advent book instead of chocolate? But so we read that.
Please don't write in. Please don't write in.
Oh, hey. Whatever. So, you know, but I mean, a good tradition where now we're on probably, I think, our fourth year of doing the Advent book. And I mean, by the third or fourth day, my son, like, it's popped back in his mind and he remembers it. And he's, like, reciting it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you know, Jacob, you're going to read the Advent book tonight. And he won't open the cover and he'll start doing it. And you're like, wait, we got to open the doors. We got to do that. That's part of the deal. But he's memorized it. He's hidden it in his heart. And I just keep thinking Psalm 119 that he might not sin against his Lord. And so I think just power, but I love, Joey, that you said that. That really spurred something in me that we need to share those stories of where we've been and what we've done. I think that's one of the things that's missing. I know that was missing in my Christian walk as I was being brought up, was that I never got to hear the stories of those authentically, of those who came before me. And isn't that what the story of Jesus is all about? It's a story about who came before us, which led to this God-man coming down.
And plus, when you do share that too, I don't know about you, Jason, but I just have this heart of thankfulness, like, wow. I can't believe, and look where God brought me today.
Right.
You know, in Revelation, it talks about how you left your first love. All you got to do is remember.
Right.
Remember. And I don't know about you, but that gives me a heart of just thankfulness. Like, wow, I am so grateful that I am no longer in the kingdom of darkness. I am now on my way to glory. How it gives you that heart of worship.
And I've said this before on the air, and it's one of those statements, what you don't use, you lose. And how important it is to have those family times where you tell stories. And the Bible's clear, you know, what is that, Ebenezer, where they built the stones, those monuments, those reminders mm-hmm. of the past story. And like you said, with Passover or those Jewish holidays, or I think you said 40 or something, many times where they refer back to the Exodus or points in time where we always reference back because we tell that story and we can relive it. And like even with Jacob now, he's already memorized certain aspects of it. And, you know, I would hope that one of the applications, I'm sure people are drawing their own conclusions or thoughts, would be that they would tell the story with their family or their
friends.
Isn't
that great old hymn, you know, I love to tell the story. I almost think that, you know, that maybe is that part of, as we prepare for Christmas. And just so everybody knows, I don't know that we all came very prepared for this. We just wanted to have a great flowing conversation about this. And look, I'm being so blessed right now as we're talking, because you guys are taking me down places I never thought we'd go and things that we would do and talk about. But that song, I love to tell the story. And do you love to tell the story?
Yeah, is that actually true?
Yeah, I mean, do you love to tell it, or do you feel as though you must tell it? I mean, but or do you love to tell it?
Or why don't we love to tell it? Right. Because really, the essence of the story, that we've been redeemed, that we have secured for us everlasting life, that we can have peace and comfort and care, that a sovereign God who created us, who had us in his mind throughout all eternity. I mean, when you think about it, it's an incredible story. That why wouldn't we want to celebrate and tell everyone every day? And why isn't that? Is it just because of our comfort zone? We don't want to be rejected?
Peer pressure.
Peer pressure.
It's not popular.
Yeah, and I think that we don't. Look, I as a teacher, I'm just going to tell you right now, because I see it all the time. I don't think people are in God's Word. I don't think that people really know who God is. I don't think that people understand that back in the Exodus, God told Moses, look, dude, I can't go with you, because if I do, I'm going to kill you guys along the way. that he loves us so much that God backed off just a little bit in a moment where he knew he may want to just off us all. He's like, you know, I said I couldn't do the flood, but I got lightning. You know, I mean, I got some other measures here. I can do some things. But I think that we don't know who God is. And I hear that all the time. I mean, we just did a training with our prayer team recently. We called it Know Your Enemy. That I wrote. And it was because I keep having people come to me and they say, you know what? I mean, Jesus is just telling me I'm horrible. And I'm like, dude, that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus talking to you. That's the other guy. Jesus would come to convict you, but your conviction would drive you to him,
yes.
Not from him. And so I keep finding that people don't know who God is. And so they don't know how to even embrace who God is. And you know, it isn't that what, again, I mean, we keep landing the plane right back, but isn't that what Christmas is about? Embracing who God is and what God is and then what God did.
So let's think of some unique ways as there are opportunities that present themselves maybe at the workplace or at the gym or in the grocery line or maybe while we're shopping. What are maybe some techniques or tools?
What does Christmas mean to you? Boom. Have them start off the conversation and say, that's great, whatever it is, even if it wasn't great. This is what Christmas means to me.
Well, that would be a question we could ask somebody. Hey, what does Christmas mean to you? And how do we say that non-threatening, though, without an agenda? Because they go, oh, I know what you're trying to do. You're going to evangelize me. Isn't that what the purpose is behind that question?
Yeah. You know, for us, it's more about, and we were working on it last night. It was kind of funny just praying about it and really just putting together a list of people that we know who are far and wide, who could come over on Christmas Eve, who could come over at different points as we get into the holiday season here through December. We'll try and have people over once or twice a week. And it really kind of culminating on people on Christmas Eve. But how do we get people in and we can love them? You know, jokingly, I would say that first we'll feed them because they're easier to catch. And then after that, you know, just how do we love them? How do we love on them practically, but at the same time share why we're doing that? I mean, let's be honest. It's a pastor. You can't come in my house and it's not like, you know, it's not like you'll come in there and you'll be like, hey, you guys follow Jesus? I mean, it's like Jesus and neon on the wall. I mean, it's not hard to see. I mean, so you know who we follow. You know what we do. But, you know, maybe let's show you how we can do it a different way. I mean, for some people, their Jesus is mean and angry. For some people, their Jesus is condemning and all this. And let's show them a Jesus who is loving. A Jesus who loves to laugh, a Jesus who loves to celebrate. That's what Christmas is about to us, is that Jesus is the light of the world come to celebrate and is worthy of our celebration. And so for us, it's inviting people in, especially inviting people in who aren't in the circle. I think that that's the biggest part about it for us, is that oftentimes we get around these types of the year and Easter and all that, and we invite our Christian friends because we're all like-minded. And I don't know about the rest of you. I love my Christian friends, don't get me wrong, but my pagan friends are sometimes a little more fun. I mean, and they're a little more fun because they're slicey and dicey. I mean, we have conversation, you know, Christian friends, you know, like, oh, Jason, I've just been praying for a hedge of protection over you. You know, my pagan friends aren't saying that. My pagan friends are like, if I said I pray a hedge of protection over you, my pagan friends would be like, well, are you going to water that? Or what do you mean? What's happening? But I mean, I just think that we need to invite those people in. And when we get to the other side of heaven, we get to the other side of eternity, we don't have these people in our lives.
Well, I could almost jump on the soapbox or share one of my pet peeves because of what many people do. Their expectations are, and I fight against this too, but, oh, we'll invite our pagan friends or our unchurch friends or whatever to a church program and then let the pastor bring them to Christ or hope that the Christmas message is going to minister to them and they're going to come to Christ. And yet we'll never have them in our home. Hmm. We'll never take the time to visit them at their workplace. And I used to be like that. A friend years ago challenged me with some of my racquetball guys. He said, Mark, do you care about these guys outside of the racquetball court? Have you ever asked them about their children, their families? Uh-huh. Have you gone to their workplace? Have you invited them over? And I was in the camp where I'll invite them to this evangelistic outreach, this, you know, presentation at the church. And I started thinking, you know, we want the pastor or the church program to influence them towards Christ. And this friend challenged me, said, Mark, just love on them. Get to know about their family. Ask them about their kids. Don't have a whole agenda. They're not a project. They're people. And it really transformed how I looked at everyone. From that point on, it's like, you know, with my neighbors, am I inviting them over? Am I going over and seeing them rake the yard and grabbing my rake and just doing the simple work? Why not? Because it's inconvenient. Because I got other things to do. I want to drop them off at the church, get them saved, and have them carry on. And it was convicting because I was self-centered a lot of times. because I didn't really care about him when it got down, when it boiled down to the principle. I just wanted to take him to church, have him come to Christ. Now I did care about him, but I didn't care about him enough to get to know him, to invite him over, to just watch a football game with him, some simple things. And so many times we think we got to bring him to the church. Yes, bring him to the church ultimately. That'd be great. But bring him into your house, into your life. Meet with him. Wash the car with him. You know, shovel their walk for him. You know, do some simple things. And then maybe they'll say, why'd you do that? Because you're a neighbor. You don't even have to say, because Jesus loves you and Jesus would want me to do this. You know, maybe that'll come up, but I just have found that just love people where they're at. And so, I don't know, maybe that's a good thing that we can all be mindful of, maybe a little more of, is just love them where they're at and invite them over. Don't invite them to the church evangelistic outreach on Christmas morning. Have them over to your house 10 times before you invite them to church.
Yeah, and I think, too, you know, almost blow up our agenda even here today is that, you know, we're talking about how can we better share or be prepared for Christmas. But really the question is how can we be prepared and how can others, we help others to be prepared for eternity? I mean, Christmas is this moment where Christ is coming and he continues to come each year, this reminder. That's what we feel as Advent kind of gears up and ramps up. But really the bigger question is, will we live with that sense of expectancy for all the days of our lives? I mean, will we really be able to live that way and share that way? Because I think the danger would be that we would just do it during Christmas. We go like, okay, it's Christmas, man. We got to, you know, Tommy, Sally, you know, Tasha, we got to ramp up our evangelism. It's Christmas. You guys have got tracks, right? We're getting out there. We're going to, you know, I mean, you know.
Don't forget the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
Always bring up the blood. You know?
Exactly. You know, and I think that would be the danger of it. It would become just a season or it would become just a thing. Let's be honest. I mean, we like to pick on churches for having, you know, being too programmatic, too having driven by programs. We say, well, we want authenticity, not program, to drive our experiences, our spiritual experiences with our church body and our church families. But I think sometimes we program how we do things even within our own family. You know, and sometimes it's because of ease. I mean, let's be honest, I'm programming bedtime down to a T. I mean, we got the headsets on. I'm like, do you understand, honey? We're getting the kids in bed, right? So let's do it. 5, 4, 3, 2, bedtime, come on. I mean, but we need to be sure that we don't begin to program these things in our life, and we begin to take out the, look, if I program it, then how does the Holy Spirit reveal anything to me in it? Because I'm on my agenda. I'm on my way. I'm going to do it in my... And look at Paul. He wanted in Acts 16, like he wanted to go to Bithynia, and he wanted to go up into different parts of the country where the gospel would ultimately spread like wildfire. And it says that the Spirit kept him from going there, and then it even says the Spirit of Jesus kept him from going there. And Paul definitely had a plan and an agenda, but he was always open to the Spirit leading him.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I think you bring up a good point, too. I mean, sharing Christ should be a way of life, not just a season in December to January 1st. So talk to the person about, okay, I get that. How do I get there?
In the car?
With boots on, walking?
No. How do you get there? I think what it is Colossians 3 is my favorite verse. I went through a particularly tough season of life after I got saved. I got saved by the Lord. Lord did a miraculous work in my life, did a miraculous work in my family. I was riding the wave super high. I was like, man, Jesus is everything. Jesus is everything. Jesus is everything. And then all of a sudden I'm going, who the heck is Jesus? And I had like a couple months where it was just, I was really wrestling with who Jesus is. I think it was when the enemy came to tempt me and to say, look, if you want to follow him, look, I'll make you king of the world, but you want to follow this guy, I don't know about it. And I really, and during that time, I memorized Colossians 3, 1 through 4. You know, since then, you know, you've been raised in Christ. Set your heart on things above, not on things below. Set your mind on things above. You know, and then it goes on to say, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you'll appear with him in glory. And I think that the Lord convicted me to memorize that verse because that verse says, when Christ, who is your life. And if Christ is my life, that means I have to give away my life. And by the way, the Bible says that where you lose your life for Jesus' sake, you're going to find it. And so when I lose my life in my kids, when I lose my life in my relationships with people around, with my wife, when I give my life away for Christ's sake, I gain far more than I ever gave away. I really do. I'm blessed in ways that I walk away feeling more happy than I felt going into. I walk away feeling altogether different. But I think you have to get it. I think that ultimately one of the cornerstones of the Christian experience that we miss is submission. I think in our preparation for Christmas, our preparation for everything ought to be submission. Lord, what's your plan? Lord, how are you going to order my steps? Lord, what are you going to do? I mean, the Bible says, God says to Joshua, I'm going to give you every place that you put your feet. You know, we could read that and go, well, yeah, the Lord's going to give me every place that I put my feet. The problem with that verse is that the only places that Joshua was going to put his feet as he followed the Lord was the places the Lord wanted him to put his feet. And see, when we give our lives over to God, when we give our lives solely over to God, if you were to say right now, this Christmas, I'm giving this Christmas to you, Jesus. I'm giving this Christmas to you, Jesus. Before I do anything in this Christmas, I'm going to pray like crazy. I'm going to take that expectancy and drive it into my family in a way that we're expectant about you, not about anything else. And as I do that, will I be willing to get rid of some things? I think that's going to be the hardest thing for people. I know in our journey, when I grew up, we had like monster Christmases. You go to my grandmother's house and there were presents stacked. I mean, they were holding the ceiling up. There were just presents everywhere and it was nuts. And that was what Christmas was about, eating a ton of food and opening up a ton of presents. And today, in my house, you get three gifts. You get a need, you get a read, and then you get something you want. Mm-hmm. And that's all you get. And we do stockings. My wife loves to do the stockings like your mom loved to do. But that's what you get. There's no big gift-giving thing. There's no anything to make you nuts or take your mind off of why we're there. And every single time, every single gift they get, we talk about, man, look at how Jesus has blessed us. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's how it has to be. That's my job. That's your job. That's your job. Whoever we're leading and guiding in our spheres of life, that's our job to say, look what Jesus just did. I think that's what's important. I mean, I realize what you're saying, Mark. Like, you know, you want to be careful. Just love people, and you want to be careful, and you don't have to go like, well, Jesus sent me over here with a rake. I think there's validity and honor in that. But I also think it's okay to say to that person, you know, I just thank Jesus that I can come over here and help you.
Right.
You know, turn it back onto yourself. I thank Jesus that he moved me to come over here. I'm only here because Jesus sent me, but I'm not going to do it in such a way like, Jesus sent me here. Right. You know, but I mean, I think it's okay to say, you know, I'm just thanking Jesus that I get to be here with you.
Well, I think I'll jump in now, and the remainder of that conversation will be broadcast tomorrow on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. But as promised, I have a pair of tickets to Mamma Mia. Don't call yet. Don't call yet. Yesterday's winners were Marilyn Panza from Villa Grove and Rob Conrad from Champaign. Their tickets will be at the State Farm Center outdoor box office. And right now, the fifth caller during the morning edition of Mark and Friends, and at this point in the program in the evening, the fifth caller will receive a pair of Mamma Mia tickets. That's coming to the State Farm Center this Sunday night, December 8th. It's a 7 p.m. performance, and the fifth caller will get a set. Dial 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. Now, if you can't call in and win tickets, all Great News Radio listeners, their friends, family members can call a special number at the State Farm Center, talk to Rose, and she'll knock $4 off the ticket prices to Mamma Mia. And that phone number is 217-333-5404, 217-333-5404. And if you get her answer machine, just tell Rose your name, your phone number, and mention Great News Radio, and you'll get $4 off the ticket prices to Mamma Mia. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.